Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Love this guy. Been in a ton of movies over the years.
You'd recognize him from Saving Private Ryan, Green Mile, True Grit, 61 is Roger Maris.
25th Hour.
And yeah. I know him best as Dale Earnhardt from the Dale Earnhardt Story. Barry Pepper joining us.
Barry, a couple questions. Thanks for joining us, by the way. A couple questions I want to ask you.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
Big fans. Were you a baseball player before the movie?
Yeah, I grew up playing ball. Sort of idolizing my older brother, who was right. a Yankees fan, but you know Roger, you know he was a lefty and I was a righty, and so that was a bit challenging to switch. But
I was wondering that too because when you see actors play ball, I played ball through school myself, but you can tell when an actor has never played baseball, no matter what. But switching from righty to lefty. And making it look natural. Yeah. How long did you do that?
That took a little practice.
If he threw with his left, I would have never taken the movie.
No.
it just would have been ridiculous. In fact, actually, Anthony Michael Hall, who played Whitey Ford, right. Billy switched the film on him. So they put his numbers on his jersey backwards and then inverted the film or flipped it because he wasn't able to switch, and so he, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I told you. They were
able to make it look like he was throwing with the opposite hand. So
why did they do that? Why did they do that with your bat? When they do that for your batting, then?
Yeah, no, we didn't want to. I started, like you say, like with soft pitch and like on a tee from the very beginning. Like when I was offered the project, my brother and I just went back to the basics because you really have to kind of switch the gears in your head.
Yeah,
you just
totally.
Feel so awkward. And so I just started on a tee, and then for several months.
I love the fact
batting
that
practice.
It would have been funny if he'd have thrown left-handed, and he would have took the roll, and he'd just throw like this. like we all do with our opposite hand. I'm Roger Maris with this weak-ass left arm.
Yeah.
Hey, how about
he has a different time.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
How about the Dale Earnhardt? Did you learn to drive 200 miles an hour?
Yeah, I went to race school at Lowe's Motor Speedway.
Okay.
And that was great fun. Yeah. I think I might have got up to about 180.
Jeez.
But that was great fun. And then the dirt track racing was really cool too. We were in North Carolina and doing the red dirt track racing. That was a hoot.
Okay, the new movie is called, I'm sorry, I got it right in front of
called
me
here. Trigger Point.
Trigger Point, that's right. Available.
DVD next week, theaters this weekend, Friday.
Yep, Friday, I think April 16th, select theaters.
Now, when it comes to playing movies where you're a soldier or you're a mercenary or things like that, unlike Dale Earnhardt and Roger Maris, you didn't go kill anybody, right, to practice?
No, didn't get that embedded. But, no, I grew up hunting and fishing, and so I was very comfortable with firearms. And I do a fair bit of range work, and I kind of enjoy the speed pistol work at the range, and so it was kind of a seamless fit for me when Brad sent me the project. Oh. I was in quarantine actually up in Canada.
I was wondering about
doing
that.
Another film here, and so it kind of worked perfectly to carry on and do another project up here. So he set me up with a gun master in Vancouver, British Columbia, the Gun Gallery, just a fantastic guy to work with who sort of took it to the next level for me.
What's the explain the movie to us?
With the Glocks.
What's the synopsis of Trigger Point?
Yeah, so it's a revenge thriller,
action
driven, but it breathes and allows for the story to unfold and keep you guessing. But it's a My character is Nicholas Shaw, this retired CIA special operative who he would have led a, you know, an invisible team CIA assassins, you know, kind of guy who terrorizes the terrorists, you know. And he's now living in solitude, off the grid. And when we meet him, we learn about his past through these nightmares and flashbacks that he's having of this traumatic event that has taken place. And because of the trauma, he only has these shock fragments and glimpses of what transpired. So we're learning as he's learning. But what we know and he knows is that he's been accused of giving up the names of his team who have all been assassinated. So now he's disappeared, slipped off the grid, started this new life, living in this sort of with this guilt. And he's tracked down by his former CIA handler, played by Colm Feore, who convinces him to join him in hunting down the assassin and clearing his name. And so that's sort of where we jump in.
Cool. Be a movie, can we just get lost in and enjoy our Trigger Point. This is Barry Pepper with us, by the way.
Did you grow up in Canada?
Yeah, I did. I'm a dual citizen now, but I grew up in Canada on a sailboat. Sailing through the South Pacific.
I read that. Is that true?
Yeah.
Because sometimes the internet lies. But you and your parents went out on a 50-foot boat and sailed the South Pacific for four or 5 years?
Yeah, my parents, they built this 50-foot fiberglass sloop in their backyard in the 70s, I guess with the dream of sailing around the world. And so they did. They piled us all on board, a family of five, and we spent the next year 5 years living.
What 5 years of your life were they?
How old were you?
Yeah,
I was five when we moved on board. So 75 we launched. Yeah,
and they homeschool you on the boat.
That's right. Man. Yeah, it was all homeschool, and so I think really those were the formative years of imagination where
obviously
we didn't have TV, we didn't have really anything other than imagination games, and so I think it kind of springboarded me into what I do today.
Man, that was probably a longer story in this situation, but was there any danger at all in those 5 years you were on the boat?
Sure. Yeah, you're crossing from nation to nation, sometimes 3 weeks at sea without seeing land, and you're hit by big white squalls, and everything's blowing off the deck of your boat. And my dad, he navigated all those years with a sextant. Celestial navigation, just like Columbus would have, and he didn't have any of the fancy GPS equipment or electronics that they have today, and so it was a miracle that we survived.
Yeah. It was. We're glad you did.
No angry natives waiting for you when you got landfall?
Yeah. Well, you know what's really interesting? We visited so many places in the South Pacific that they shot episodes of Survivor. I sort of laugh now, because in the 70s, they were really rural.
Yeah.
Places where there were very few, villagers that lived on those islands, and they lived in, real rural conditions, and so it was exciting for us to visit those places because we didn't have the money to, go to the big ports and destinations. We stuck to the smaller islands and atolls and kind of lived with the locals.
Were your parents old?
It's funny to see.
Were they old hippies?
What's that?
Were they old hippies?
I don't know. They kind of were living in both worlds. My dad was a lumberjack, actually.
Oh man!
So he was a faller here in the Pacific Northwest, and he just had dreams of traveling and exposing his kids to a different.
Well, I guess what life, one good thing was they couldn't say when you wanted to become an actor. Well, you should find something more stable. They got nothing. They had nothing on you, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Are you able to get back to Canada since you're a dual citizen?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I was quarantined up here doing a film with Nate Parker and David Oyelowo called Solitary when Brad Turner contacted me about Trigger Point. So it was kind of just a perfect fit. I hadn't filmed in Canada in years since I really, cut my teeth here 25 years ago, back when Johnny Depp was shooting 21 Jump Street.
Oh, geez, okay.
On the streets of Vancouver.
Was that your...
So I really hadn't filmed here much, and so it was kind of cool to film in Canada for...
Trigger Point is coming out. Give me the date again on that. Right there.
Friday.
Friday, all right.
And then DVD, video on demand the week after, the
23rd. Barry Pepper, very interesting, man. Appreciate the conversation. Good luck with the new movie. Hopefully talk soon.
Right on, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Cool. I love the fact he said to... if you had to throw a left handed when they took the movie, because you're right.
You can't fake that.
No, that unless you're ambidextrous, you cannot shake. You can learn to bat left handed, and even that was probably a struggle for the guy. But you can't fake that. No.
Like, it's different, like, being able to bat left-handed and also look like Roger Maris batting.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, too. He's not swinging a little wiffle ball bat left-handed like the rest of us do. Yeah, all right.
So. He was such a badass in Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, he was there. Obviously, 25th Hour is one of the – we had a clip ready to go, but it got lost in the ether somewhere.
Somewhere in the system.
Yeah, but, he's a good actor and a good dude, too. That was fun.
I can't imagine being – 3 weeks at sea without seeing land – as a 5, 6, 7-year-old.
Well, I think I'd rather be that than the adults, because they didn't have to worry.
True.
The adults had to worry the whole time. 5 years, though, they did that.
You weren't quite aware of all the danger that was around you.
I love the word.
Oh, not at all.
And you better hope somebody could teach you something, homeschool. Like, Mom must have known something. I've been reading books. Most of us would get out there, we wouldn't do anything for 5 years. We'd come back just really dumb.
But at some point, that's all you know. I mean, you don't really start collecting memories till you're 2 or 3.
No, you're right. For him, 5 to 10, you're right. That was just that was his daily life.
Right. That's just what he did.
I wonder if he was the oldest, though, or somewhere. But the parents obviously had to go out there and not see land for three weeks
at sea without being able to see land.
With your family, you know?
Yeah. Knowing that if something bad happens, well, the whole family's gone down because I'm a dumbass. Because I'm navigating by the stars.
Yeah. And it sounds like you had to get all your supplies before you left, if they were just visiting lesser visited islands.
Yeah. And it was
might not have a general store.
I know it's not ancient times, but it was, 70s, 40-some years
ago. Yeah, basically
ago.
75 to 80, he said.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of islands there without a Safeway.
Probably most of them.
And he had to go on. Well, he was too young, but you imagine being like maybe becoming sexually awakening on a boat like that. Say you're 13 to 18.
Yeah, if you had older siblings.
What are you going to do? We better hit an island soon. You start to look good, Mom.
Just masturbating into the sea.
My sister's looking pretty good here. We better hit an island soon.
Pull it over.
Yeah.
Time to pull it over.
Barry needs laid.
One where they don't wear clothes.
Can we hit that topless island again?
Anything that looks like Blue Lagoon, just drop me off there.
But not with my sister. Of course, we took it there. Or I did.
Well, there'd be no escape from your family.
No. Nick, that's horrifying, isn't it, Nick?
Well,
you get abused the whole time.
Well, if you've been complaining about being stuck in your family in a 3,000 square foot house, think about that on a 50 foot boat.
Yeah, I'd probably rather be in the boat if I knew what I was doing.
My kids would shove each other off. Somebody would be getting pushed into the ocean constantly.
Constantly.
You have to just have the net out constantly.
And you're only going to fish him out of the ocean 3 or 4 times, and then it's just going to be over.
Yeah. All right.
We are being reminded that today is the last day of Long Ball Awareness Month.
Todd celebrates that, or he's aware of it.
If you have long balls, isn't that every month?
As Todd.
Yeah.
Well, Todd. But this is for everyone else. For any awareness month, you can say that.
Like
if you have
on
this affliction.
For
any awareness month.
What's kind of a vasectomy, too? Your balls probably hang lower, too.
I'll
ask your wife.
Nobody's made me aware.
Well, she's not going to say anything, but show Craig and he'll tell me.
And they're not, I mean, they haven't, I'm wearing the same length of shorts and they haven't dropped out the bottom yet.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's old man balls there. I'm just saying that the Todd's balls drop when you got a vasectomy.
I'm not tucking them into my socks like Todd.
I think mine did a little bit, but now.
Oh, you got a vasectomy too.
Yeah, as you get older.
Craig and me are high and tight.
Right. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah.
Helmet up, high and tight.
Well, you're high.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much of it now is attributed to the vasectomy and how much of it is just, them dropping as you get older.
No, man, I'm older than you, Nick, and I don't have a vasectomy. My balls don't hang that low, man. Puss will tell you that.
Do your balls hang low? Also, Stinkweed Pete says that in Long Ball Awareness Month, even though it won't be Long Ball Awareness Month, please continue to check the length and coverage capability of your shorts.
Yeah, because shorts are getting shorter.
That's true.
Yeah, they are.
Chicago shorts are out.
And he also says,
no, I saw an ad yesterday for cargo shorts. Apparently, they're making a comeback.
Yeah, I've always hated them.
Oh, love them.
Yeah. I like them, too.
Yeah. Can't have enough pockets.
A lot of storage space.
No, you can, because there's too much in your pockets.
Well, it keeps you from having a purse.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, very rarely when I was wearing cargo shorts did I put anything in the cargo pocket.
Yeah, I never did either.
Oh, yeah. I do.
Never.
Like pistachios or something?
Well, that's good. They're not that
even
heavy.
A drink or
right.
something?
That heavy.
Corn dog.
Your one hitter? Yeah.
No, I never did that.
Well, I can fit in any pocket.
Sure. But it's even better if you got cargo shorts.
Nature's pocket.
Well, there was a point where if you put something in those pockets that weighed too much, it felt like it was just going to pull your pants
they
off.
They would pull your pants down. I noticed that too, right?
You couldn't put
say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, you've got an excuse.
It kind of is.
Oops. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Craig, you don't need an excuse around here. Just take them off.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Google is adding a new feature to Maps that will guide users through indoor spaces, like airports and malls.
God, now you're looking at your phone as you're walking down the airport.
Well, what you do is you kind of put it up in the air, and then you kind of follow the arrows that it'll show you.
All right.
It'll give you directions like you would when you were driving.
Yep.
Somebody's going down an escalator.
Yeah.
Somebody's falling right
there. Or getting on the wrong moving sidewalk.
That's right, yeah.
It features augmented reality. Back, it displays arrows on your phone screen to show you exactly where to go.
Could be helpful.
Yeah, it will.
They're going to, bring this out slowly. But that's what they're going to start to do.
I'd use that more than I would use how long would it take for me to walk there on the Google Maps.
Yeah, I don't use that one either.
I mean, unless you're in the a downtown of a large city or something, who uses that?
I don't know, but I've also a lot of cities obviously use that.
You're inside a city.
That's actually been clicked on, and I didn't realize that sometimes.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna take me 3 days to get there.
Right.
Yeah. Oh.
You're gonna walk 500 miles.
Son
of a.
I'm going to Kansas.
Damn it, Nick.
I'm going to Kansas City. Oh, sorry, Nick. You're right. Yeah.
That would show you exactly how long that would take.
Yeah, it would.
I've done that too, though. I've clicked something in Google Maps and what? Oh, walking. No, I'm not walking. I'm driving.
Right. It'll give you the biking time too.
Yes, it does.
Well, and bus.
And bus.
Too.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody sent us an email the other day, and I haven't looked into it, but they want to get rid of the name. Some people want to get rid of the name Yale because apparently that guy was a slave owner.
I'll have to ask Dr. Mina. She'll obviously know more about that than any of us. She went to Yale.
And one of the other founders, who gave a lot of money to Yale, actually went to Harvard, but his last name was Dumber, and they didn't want to call it Dumber College.
that's what we do.
They should have.
So it's Harvard, but it's Dumber, right?
No, Yale.
I know.
Yeah.
Yale is Harvard, but Dumber.
He's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, what does the saying say, Craig, at the Yale statue?
More education, more better.
Jeez, we are just going down a rabbit hole here.
What are they going to call you?
Yeah, Dumber.
Yeah. She's calling
they
tomorrow.
They change it.
Harvard Light.
Yeah. Bring that up. She'll hear that by tomorrow. Yeah.
There's Light. A hashtag cancel Yale thing going on. Or has been for.
Just call it. Couldn't get into Harvard.
100 years.
They call Yale.
Couple years.
How about Diet Harvard? Harvard Zero.
Yeah, apparently that guy was involved with and profited from slave trade. Yale.
That might think that you know what? It named after him, but it's become known as something else. You know, it's fairly liberal.
Oh, yeah.
So I would think they might leave that alone. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they changed the name of Yale.
I'd like to see it called Dumber. Yeah. Formerly known as Yale.
Like, that's a lot more involved than, like, rebranding syrup.
Yeah. Or the savages in that town in Missouri. You
know? 4-4.
Yeah. 4-4.
Yeah, it's not just changing a nickname.
Right.
It's changing the name of an entire institution.
Well, like a world-renowned institution. And still, Harvard, but it's still world-renowned.
World-renowned for not being Harvard. Right.
Yeah, she got in. We didn't.
To be fair, we didn't try.
That's right.
True.
Never even applied.
Yeah. To be fair.
That's true. We did not apply.
We don't know what would happen.
That's all that was stopping that. Right.
I'm pretty aware of my class rank, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have made it.
But we didn't.
We
didn't apply.
Hey, I was fourth in my graduating class.
Yeah, you graduated 13.
And I wasn't in the top 10%.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think there's one reason they would have let me in.
Yeah.
It's not like there's one thing that was holding me back. It's like there's nothing that they would have even like taken a look at. Be like, oh, maybe that.
Hey, maybe they need a trumpet player or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Do we need a third chair, tenor sax?
I'm sorry. Puss played the tuba.
Right. There are no special circumstances that would have let me into an Ivy League school.
No. No. Well, that's why you gotta learn to row or something like that. Yeah.
You need more middle-class white boys.
One of my favorite. I saw an interview with Taylor
Swift.
Taylor Kitsch, right? He was a hockey player. He's a Canadian guy originally, and he was a hockey player through high school. Pretty good hockey player, he said. And it was an interview about was that black and white show we watch? That guy does interviews on All Access.
Oh, Sam Jones.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I love the
no
actor.
Longer
he was on we all knew
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, famous guy.
But Battleship.
Cool dude. Puss and I are in love with that guy.
Yeah, because he's hot.
In a heterosexual kind of homo way.
Well.
It's heterosexual as it can be until it's extremely gay.
When he's a high school football player, Riggs, he's
and he's a high school kid.
No, he's like 21 playing a high school.
Nobody
guy.
Is actually in high school when they play a high school kid.
No. That'd be weird. And I'm Matt Getz here. So the story was he's walking off the ice, and there were recruiters at this game, and Harvard guy shows up. They're a pretty decent hockey team. And he starts approaching him, and Taylor goes, don't worry about it.
Save your breath.
He said, save your breath. I can't get in. And he goes, oh, good luck with your career then. That was it. I love
that. Dude didn't even waste his time.
No, it's a great little piece. I thought it was very interesting. Harvard's got a great hockey program.
Yeah. Look, my hockey skills are the only thing that Harvard wants out of me.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, don't bother. He had a big Harvard sweater on. Yeah.
None of them have athletic scholarships, do they?
He wanted to play. He wanted to play hockey there, you know. So
there's got to be people at that school that wouldn't be there if they weren't good at that sport, though.
No, there are people. Yeah, of course they are. Don't they do recruit?
Yeah, they were smart and athletic.
Yeah, you're right. They do recruit to play football and at those schools. They just can't get full scholarships.
There's a handful of schools out there that actually have academic standards.
Harvard,
right.
The ones that aren't good at athletics.
Yeah. Not dumber, though.
You are listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and our podcasts now are easier than ever to find.
Just download the iHeartRadio app and search Todd and Tyler.